restaurant, and it was a vegan restaurant, and they brought out his food, and it was cold, so he just didn't eat it.
And I will never send back a dish at a restaurant. I can't do it.
He didn't send it back. They came over and said, "Oh, you want us to take it?" And he was like, "No, it's fine." They're like, "So is there something wrong?" He's like, "Oh, I'm just not hungry." And they took it off the bill.
What?
Like, if they get, like, I ordered.
Dude, but we waited 50 minutes for our food.
Instead of vegetables, be like, you know.
Was the food good, at least? It was just bad.
Appetizers were good. Little macaroni and cheese things.
Where was the restaurant? In the city?
It's a place in, Astoria. I forget the name of it. It was so bad that I don't even remember the name.
There's no point. Like, even if I don't like my food. Like,
are you to come up for the cold opening? This could be good cold opening material.
Even the cold openings. Just start it.
Just start it. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Soup Pod.
Let's start a different one.
The cold openings are good in the podcasts.
This is such a meta cold opening. This is the cold opening.
I don't like it.
You know what's so funny? We just went to the movies, and I get into the car. I'm looking around in my pockets. Don't have my case for my glasses. I just decided not to go back into the theater. I was like, it's too cold. I'm not getting out of my car. I'll just get a new case.
You left them in the theater?
No, but then I walked in, and I checked my sweatshirt pocket. They were there.
So you didn't check all your pockets?
I didn't know. Yeah. That's the moral
That's
of the story.
You didn't check all your pockets?
Didn't check all my pockets. Should we go for the third cold opening? Can I just start it?
No, I like the cold opening. I didn't like that one.
Nobody likes cold soup.
Would you send back cold soup if you got it?
Would I send back cold? I would never send. I wouldn't even go get my glasses. No, what did I buy the other day?
Is it like when you're in a store for too long, so you buy something out of guilt?
No, you know what it was? I went to buy wine, and I was like, do you guys have vegan wine? And the guy looked at me like he wanted to just stab me.
Wait, vegan wine?
Yeah, vegan wine.
Wine is not already vegan?
It's not, because there's like the fining agents, they use protein and...
I feel like that's way too deep into it. If you're a vegan for the health, like, that's not like a health hazard.
I do something 100% or don't do it at all.
But you're not doing it because you're doing it for the health benefits.
Right.
Yeah, you don't care about animals.
Yeah, you terrible person.
Well,
but
I was thinking about rescuing a dog.
You're a fraud. But yeah, like a little milk.
Yeah, I'm not a principal vegan. Yeah. I'm an opportunist. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Soup Podcast. I am Bo Olivier, and I'm joined here today by Aaron, the Nerd Soup Monkey. Aaron, we've done this before.
Yeah.
Another go at it.
Yep.
Ready?
Everything just keeps repeating itself. I'm in an endless cycle that I can't break.
And we are joined today by, I always say when you come back, it's your triumphant return, but
yeah,
how's it going?
I'm good. I'm only here if I'm literally in the area.
Yeah, which, I mean, you're kind of in the area, but you don't.
You never tell me to come here.
I literally text you every time.
No, you don't.
Yeah, that's true. I don't. Yeah, but we're here and we're talking about a lot of stuff. We've got a lot of news over the past couple of week.
Just the last week. It's only been a week since we did this last. But actually, news is picking up, and I kind of like it. We got the Birds of Prey, little teaser there. Joker rewrites.
Oh, no. Signs of trouble.
A Nolan movie.
That's like him.
Pretty much what we know about it. It's a movie by Nolan.
Hey, I'm dropping a movie.
In 2020. It's like, yeah, no plot details, no cast, no nothing. I'm in.
It's already better than everything Michael Bay.
That's how he does when he like wants to make a movie. He just goes to a studio. He's like, I'm making a movie. Done. Some Once Upon a Time in Hollywood photos. So those are nice. And we got a trailer for Shockingly Evil and Extremely Wicked and Shockingly Evil and Vile. Rolls off the tongue. Ted Bundy, Hot in the Streets. Got a Netflix show. Now a movie.
Is this the era of Bundy? It's the year of Bundy.
I guess. It's.
I mean, there's definitely been a true crime trend thing going on lately, so they're totally taking advantage of that.
True crime is big.
Teddy's a big true crime guy.
Yeah, Ted. But he's, kind of. But he's also into, like, demon possession and ghost hunting.
He's into some weird stuff.
He is, yeah. Every time he's watching those videos, he's like, you don't believe this?
My favorite podcast is called My Favorite Murder, and it's just, like, all about this stuff.
Wow, that's awkward.
Yeah, you're not my favorite podcast.
Are we in the top 10? You had to think about. You're a big podcast guy, huh?
I mean, yeah. In school, like getting ready in the morning, I had a podcast for like every day of the week.
Wow.
It was really
so
hard.
So what day was Nerd Soup?
I mean, you can't really listen to
you
your
guys
own
don't have a set
podcast
day, so I couldn't like work you into my routine.
Do you listen to the podcast?
I do, yeah.
That you're on?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Okay.
But you read the comments, right?
I read the comments for the first like hour it's up, and then after that, I can't look at it anymore.
Those first hour comments, it's like strolling through the
meadows. Yeah, stroking your ego. It's like how great you are. We love the channel. More soup. Like, yes, this is it.
The 24 hours later,
yeah,
it's those.
That's when you get the outside world coming in. That's always scary when a video reaches outside of the community. Some people are like, oh, why am I listening to these idiots?
That's what somebody...
Like, oh, yeah. Fair
somebody
point.
Commented the other day, why am I listening to these clowns?
Also, like, the first hour, there's, like, maybe, depending on the video, at most 50 comments. And then after that, it's like, it's done. I can rest easy.
I do love watching people battle for first. After somebody claims first, that's
I think
when
Stu
I
got
check
one
out.
Once.
Yeah, Stu commented first, and it was like all these funny emojis. It's like these heart emojis. Yeah, so before we get into the news of the week, I just want to let you guys know you can listen to us on iTunes at the Nerd Soup Podcast, SoundCloud at the Nerd Soup Podcast, and wait for it, Spotify, the Nerd Soup Podcast.
We're back. Well, now we're on Spotify.
We're on Spotify, yeah. Back wow. like we never left because we were never there. But somebody tweeted at me and was like, hey, idiots, it's real easy to get on Spotify. He didn't say that. He was very nice. And yeah, it was real simple. So we're on Spotify, we're on YouTube. Send us your questions at nerdsoup4u@gmail.com and nerdsoup4u on Twitter, nerdsoupmonkey, Tumblr, right?
I am on Tumblr, yeah.
And you have a MySpace.
Yeah.
Keeping it alive with your AOL email.
I actually do still have my AOL email.
Do you really?
Yeah, but it's like whatever they did to convert at this point.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. Can you even get on?
I think AIM is dead now. I just, like, I keep changing the email and, like, bringing it with me places.
AIM used to be fucking ruthless. Like, your away message, you would, like, list all your friends. That's how you found out. It's like, oh, I guess I'm not friends with this person. I'm not on their away message.
I remember when Jamie put me in his profile. I was like, well, I made it.
Yeah.
I'm one of the cool kids, Mom. And you'd tweet some fire-ass lyrics on your away message. Yeah. Some 50 Cent wanks.
Yeah, whatever the... Whatever the, what's the guy's name? The Chamillionaire hot song at that time was.
Yeah, he ran. Is it Chamillionaire or Tramillionaire?
Either way, it's like tomato. There's no wrong way of saying it.
Yeah, that is true. I love tomatoes.
Did you get around to seeing Serenity yet?
No, I will never see that movie.
It's a fucking...
I read about how that movie ends.
Yeah, I won't spoil it, because if you go see it, I would recommend go seeing it. It's awful, but it's so bad that I enjoyed myself.
It does sound like The Room. Quality that it's in that territory.
It's like, you know, McConaughey, the two McConaugheys, you have like Dallas Buyers Club, True Detective McConaughey, and then everything else, really.
Yeah,
it was everything else, classic McConaughey.
Talk about hit or miss.
It was a wild experience, but I enjoyed every second of it.
And the McConaissance is kind of over.
The McConaissance.
It's funny. I was walking out of the theater, and there's this couple like walking behind me, and they were like arguing. I didn't really
hear the McConaissance.
No, they were just leaving glass, and they were having like a Like, oh, what are they arguing about? So I kind of like slowed down a little, eavesdropped. And they were going at it about what's better, Unbreakable or Split.
Good argument, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I want a relationship like
it's
that.
Very close, honestly.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I want something like that. Instead, it's just me walking out alone after seeing Serenity. That's kind of sad.
Or you walking out with me and us saying, so what do you think?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah,
I feel
too.
Like there's a tension between us of who's going to say, so what do you think first?
Yeah.
It's, you know, you never want to be the so what do you think guy.
I'm always the so what'd you think guy.
Well, for you, it's easy because you like everything.
That's true. I reevaluate based on what everyone else
Your
is
scores
saying.
Only go up. Yeah, that is true.
I feel like there's always the person, if you're with the group, they wait to go last to see what everyone else is, to gauge the room.
Yeah, the Dick Cheney of the group. They take everybody's points and then combine them into one great point.
That's what Manny does. Low key. Manny never talks, so like you won't notice, but occasionally he'll just like wait for his moment and then he'll just repeat anything I've said earlier.
Manny is very much like Dick Cheney.
So you and Dick Cheney. You've seen Vice twice, and now you're a Dick Cheney guy all of a sudden.
I did order his biography. But, yeah, so let's get into the first story here. What should we talk about first? I'm thinking Birds of Prey. It's a good starting, jumping off point.
Big news.
30-minute teaser, Harley Quinn, Margot
30 minutes,
Robbie.
Wow. It's like half the movie. Third.
30 seconds.
Quarter.
My, 30-second teaser. And I thought it was a good teaser. And this movie, I don't even know. I guess they just started shooting, so there's not that much footage for them to show us.
Yeah, I feel like we've been hearing about it for a long time, though.
Yeah, I can't believe there's actually people making the movie, because with DC, it's how many movies have they announced, and you just don't believe it until you actually see it. Even this feels like the actors just did it without Warner Brothers' permission.
Margot Robbie is like really heavily involved in the production. If it's not this movie, it might be a different movie.
No, you're right. She's producing it.
I hope it's good. The teaser was really, I don't know how much the tone is going to match the actual movie or the trailer, but I don't know. People are praising it for being like different, you know. But for me, I just got like a real Suicide Squad vibe from it. Like the same type of like just, I don't know, just the same like atmosphere and vibe I got from Suicide Squad, which is not good. I hope this movie is good because I'm very interested to see. And I love Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. And I don't know, everyone, the cast looks pretty cool.
Chris Messina as Victor Zsasz.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, when that casting was announced, they couldn't picture him in that role. But the way, I think they've changed his hair a little bit. He's got lighter hair and his face looks kind of misconstrued. It's a little droopy.
Yeah.
So, and Ewan McGregor as Black Mask. Mm-hmm. That was the one that people were saying looks like cosplay. It's because he doesn't have the mask.
Yeah.
They want to show Ewan McGregor. You have Ewan McGregor, but also Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Huntress. Love that casting. And that's such a great character. She was really good on Arrow. And I thought, wasn't Catwoman supposed to be in this? I guess not.
People are upset too. No Oracle or Barbara Gordon.
I'd like to see Batgirl.
Yeah. Is she Batgirl in Birds of Prey or Oracle?
I think in some versions she's Oracle, in other versions she's Batgirl.
I think it depends on what kind of continuity they want to go for.
It's New 52, there is no Oracle.
Because they were going to do the solo movie, so maybe they kind of wanted to separate that.
They aged Batgirl down in the comics, I think. Or like Barbara Gordon, so she's Batgirl now. And I forget if Oracle is like a thing that happened or not. It's like the worlds of DC now, right? So they're not like a... All these movies we're supposed to assume just take place in like different worlds. Like they're not connected anymore. Because I feel like in the beginning they wouldn't have done that because they don't really know how they're handling Batman in the DC movies right now. But like if they're not anymore, I just feel like... I don't know.
I mean, they're not going to stop making movies. That's the thing. It's just a matter of if they're going to connect them.
I feel like whichever ones do well, they'll try to connect, but... I don't know. A lot of people like that they're not like Marvel, where a lot of people find it to be cookie cutter, you know, the same, pretty much the same tone, and they're very alike throughout all the films. Where DC is a little, it's different. You know, look at Batman versus Superman versus Justice League versus Aquaman versus Suicide Squad, and now the tone that this kind of teaser gave off, everything seems a little different. Do you like that, or I kind of feel like it might be a little disjointed, which I respect them trying to do something different and not always trying to stick to the same mold, but I feel like when you're trying to make a connected universe, it kind of throws things out of whack a little.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. I don't like how Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, they don't even feel like they're taking place in the same world, because if you're going for that, and comics have been doing this for decades, telling stories where all the different characters are living within the same universe and they interact. I love what Marvel's doing. And are they cookie cutter? Yeah, but I don't think that's a bad thing, because they have a story that they've been setting out to tell for about the last 7 years, not at the very beginning.
I mean, I could see why the story of, you know, the inner workings of the Gotham underworld would be different than Aquaman. It's two very different settings and different characters.
You have that in Marvel too.
As far as like DC characters and Marvel characters go, like Marvel characters are not as godlike, I would say. Like Aquaman, like you can explore the entire ocean, and sure, what's going on Earth could be exactly the same that was in a different DC movie, but like Aquaman has this whole history. Same thing with Wonder Woman. So like in that respect, I don't mind that they have different tones, but they still didn't manage to like make them cohesive. Like I think you have movies with different tones and still have them mesh together for like an expanded universe. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Comics do it all the time, which if people think they do it well is a different story. But
I read an article, or I saw a headline of an article that said Captain Marvel is someplace between Captain America Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, oh, so the two complete polar opposites of Marvel, it's somewhere in between that. Who would have thought?
So every other Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But I think Winter Soldier, the two that stand out the most from the Marvel formula would be Winter Soldier and the first Iron Man. Because even Iron Man 2 became kind of just Robert Downey Jr. one-man show. How many quips can we give him? But Winter Soldier, to me, it's a very serious film. And even Infinity War at times. I mean, the last 20 minutes, there's hardly any jokes. But like you said, when you have a Superman movie, and then you have Superman in a movie with Batman, and that Superman feels like a completely different character, because you have to find a way to mesh. You can mesh light and dark. It happens all the time. Some of the best comic books you're going to read feature Batman and Superman. That's why they call them world's finest.
I mean, it's also, I think, they tried really hard to get to the shared universe. So things, like, things do feel rushed, and, like, that's why the tone is so inconsistent.
Yeah. Like you said, it's a Suicide Squad tone, but that doesn't tell me anything about how the movie is going to be executed.
No, no, I'm not going to. I'll wait for a trailer or even a movie.
Because even those first two trailers from Suicide Squad, I still say the first Suicide Squad trailer is one of the best trailers ever. And then the second one was more lighthearted with the Bohemian Rhapsody song.
Yeah.
So if you you were going to get a Bohemian Rhapsody.
Never heard it.
Well, who sings it? Yeah, so the tone, it depends on who's directing it, mm-hmm. which I'm not sure who's directing it. Hopefully it's like Scorsese. That'd be cool.
I know almost nothing about the Birds of Prey movie.
It's hard to follow these movies because it's just so up in the air. As for their other movie that they have planned, the Joker movie. And we got some news that could be, it's something that happens in Hollywood.
I think news
that the Joker is being rewritten, or that there are some rewrites happening right now.
While they were shooting,
right.
Yeah, I think Zazzy Beetz said it.
Iron Man, the first Iron Man, they literally claimed they were writing it on the spot. Jeff Bridges, Jon Favreau, and Robert Downey Jr. were writing it as they filmed.
I don't think it's a huge deal. I mean, that's every time you hear reshoots or rewrites, people start, you know, going a little crazy. But, I mean, it could just be, you know, maybe Todd Phillips was just watching it unravel. It's like, oh, I like this, but this could kind of be better. Now that I have the cast and I know the group, I know the actors I'm working with, the chemistry, maybe this will work a little better. Let's try something else. Let's rewrite this. Let's see how this works.
Yeah, he's got a background in comedy, too, and that happens all the time in movies. Directors talk about it. I think it was Christopher McQuarrie they asked him on Twitter, how much is in the script and how much is just improv? Mm-hmm. And he's like, there are days when everything is coming off the top of the head, and there are other days when the script is gospel, that you follow it to a T, verbatim. The Joker movie, when you have these guys like Todd Phillips, and like I said, with the background in comedy, things become fluid. New ideas come to their heads. Joaquin Phoenix is a nutcase, so maybe he had some good ideas, and let's go in the trailer, rewrite this scene. And
I didn't read her interview or whatever, or her statement, or however that came off, however it came across, but I would assume if she was talking about it, it's not like, oh no, it's terrible, like, we had rewrites every day. I feel like maybe she was speaking to, like, oh, just the chemistry and what Todd was able to do. Like, oh, you know, we were...
It's a good headline for people to publish. Oh, the Joker was being rewritten during filming. What do you think about this Joker movie? Are you excited for it?
I mean, I'll watch it. I realize Joaquin Phoenix and her. And I know they're going for a more old school vibe, right?
Yeah, it's like kind of retro, 1980s.
The Joker's design.
Right.
I don't know. Like, with DC movies, I just kind of, like, I try to keep my expectations low, so that way, when I watch them, like, I'll like it. Like, I'll be pleasantly surprised.
That's a good way to go through life. Just for everything. I'm going to start using that.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what they'll do. I was really, like, I remember when they first announced this, I was, like, against the idea of a Joker movie. But now that they've decided that they're doing away with the cohesive universe for the most part, like, okay, give me the Joker movie. If they want to just get all these, like big-name actors and everyone to just do these, like, one-off movies, like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a little confusing, but I wish they would just stick to a plan. Like you said before.
I really look like a man with a plan?
Yeah, okay.
I fucking love that scene. I love that thing that's going around the internet, too. It's like, I love how Harvey Dent had no idea that was the Joker until he took off his mask. Who is this?
Well, you know, he just woke up. He's a little disoriented.
Yeah, like we said, it does make you a little apprehensive, but I trust Todd Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix. Why do I trust them? Because they're good artists.
Yeah.
And it looks like they have something good there from the set photos, from the videos, from the bar that we were at where they said they were shooting.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the bartender was like, hey, it looked good. So bartenders don't lie.
I think Teddy had an insider that said it was good.
Yeah, Teddy's fucking insider. Who is that? It's like his uncle's
I have
like,
no
brothers.
Idea, but Teddy's like, oh, no, it's good.
He's seen a cut of the Joker, but he couldn't like get us into a screening.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, what do we have next? I think we should go to Christopher Nolan.
Oh, Joker, that's, Nolan.
Yeah, right? Wow. Ooh, these topics are flowing today.
It's a good flow.
It's a very good flow. Yeah, Christopher Nolan, it was announced that his movie is going to be released in June 2020. Mm. The first thing that came to my head when I heard this news, Inception 2. It would be 10 years. He's talked about a sequel, and that ending that's the ultimate ambiguous ending. People debate about that. Just this morning, I got into a debate with the guy at the deli.
Isn't that the best part of it, though?
New characters.
Oh.
Expanded. A new adventure.
Did Inception come out in 2010?
Yeah, it was between The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises.
It's a good sandwich.
Oh, that's a hell of a sandwich, yeah. You know, top,
that's
top,
the Italian hero.
Top piece of the bread was a little moldy, but...
I watched that movie, but it's been so long.
Inception?
Yeah.
It's so good.
I remember the ending, but like I can't remember anything else that happens in
the
it.
The funniest riff on Inception, and I like Inception, the episode of Rick and Morty, when they keep incepting everybody, and then they incept the dog, and they're like, well, everything here happens 7 years. I don't know. I kind of want him to go sci-fi. That's when I think Nolan's at his best.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask, what kind of genre would you like it to be? Sci-fi. I mean, I think it probably won't be another period war piece. Cause, you know,
I feel like every Dunkirk, great director has to do that.
Have to wait a little. Yeah.
Yeah, he got it out of his system.
Yeah.
So I got one. To me, the best. Still my favorite war movie.
Dunkirk was great.
Yeah. Really great. So I'd like to see him go back to sci-fi. I mean, everything that he's dropped with sci-fi. The Dark Knight, kind of sci-fi.
What about like a Memento type? Something, you know.
Well, aren't they? Oh, the reboot. That's what it is.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So stupid.
They are doing that, right?
God. Maybe a Memento.
Damn it.
Memento.
Well, not that, but something along those lines where it's a thriller that keeps you on the edge of your seat, always thinking. You never know what's going on.
Yeah, The Prestige.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we all love Nolan, so we're going to be there June 2020.
He can make whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, whatever he does, I'm going to watch it, and I'm pretty sure I'll like it.
He really is one of those guys that walks up to the studio, like Stephen King. I wrote a book. All right, Stephen, well, just let me know when you want to publish. So, not much to discuss there. People are going to be theorizing. We're probably going to get little increments of news of casting.
It's got to start filming or pre-productions very soon.
Yeah. And so what do we have next? Next on the old news thing?
Extremely wicked, shockingly evil, and vile.
Ted,
now, when I first saw this, I'm
Ted
like,
Bungies.
They made a movie about my ex-wife, right? Come back. Hashtag bring the kids home.
You want to start the podcast again? Hashtag bring the kids home. You saved it there.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, thanks. No, I'm not married. Zac Efron is Ted Bundy.
It's one of those cases where they say, you know, when they cast the movie star to play the real life person, that person wasn't that good looking.
Is he
good looking enough?
That was like Bundy's thing. Like, he was just very charismatic and good looking.
I saw a post the other day that was like Zac Efron trying to do anything to get away from High School Musical. And then it was like, look at Troy Bolton go. And that's honestly how I feel about it.
Is that his name in High School? Yeah.
Oh, I guess that was like, I was 9 years old when that movie came out. So I guess that was more my thing than yours.
No, for our generation, it was big, but for me and Aaron, I can't even say I've seen 1 second of High School Musical.
I think I was on board for the first
two. I know they get in the game.
Yeah. There was one that went away to, like, the summer camp, right? Was that the...
No.
No. They went to a camp.
No, that was Jonas Brothers.
Camp Rock?
Camp Rock.
Okay. Another classic.
Yeah.
I can't even say that I've seen the trailer. I feel unprepared. No. Have you guys seen it?
No, I
trailer?
Haven't seen it.
Yeah, I have.
I've seen a lot of the backlash around the movie.
Yeah, it is a, people distasteful. It happened recent. It wasn't too recent, but I think still enough to affect the family of those people. And it's always a criticism when you do a movie on real life tragedy. I don't know. The trailer is very stylized too. It seems to be like a I don't know what they're gonna go for, but I heard too it's gonna be more a courthouse drama, so maybe shy away from the actual brutality of the murders. But yeah, sensitive subject. I don't know. I guess
anything true crime I think is gonna be really hard to like deal with in a way that like there's always gonna be someone who thinks it's disrespectful, and it's.
But I feel like a documentary is different than a feature film, where a documentary comes across just straight up as, you know, learning or presenting what you have. Where a film, it's very stylized. You're trying to get, you know, you're basically trying to fill in the gaps with what?
I'm still laughing about Bring the Kids Home.
You're basically creating a narrative around a tragedy where it's...
Yeah, but this happens in fictional movies, too. How many times, every time Tarantino releases a movie, you get that one British journalist who's... Do you think that your movies inspire violence, Quentin Tarantino? And like,
no, what do you mean? Violence is cool when it's fake.
And then that happens every Tarantino movie.
I mean, I do think there is a difference, though, like in a fictional movie with like a fictional serial killer and then doing, like Aaron said, a highly stylized movie about a real serial killer, like whose victims, like, and their families are still around.
Because, you know, like people like...
I wonder if they have to get their permission.
No.
They don't, right?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like with Thanos, people are like...
It would be in good taste.
Calling him like, oh, thick Thanos and stuff like that. I feel like Efron Bundy, people are going to be like tweeting like, damn. Like, you know, it's just...
Ooh, remember
just
that phenomenon
culture.
A couple of years ago with the good-looking convict?
Yeah.
Who was arrested for like beating his girlfriend, but he was good-looking and he became a viral sensation. I mean, these are things that you can't stop.
No.
So...
We'll just wait for the
Daddy
film to
Bundy?
Come out. Yeah. Daddy Bundy.
Oof. Oh, my God.
He ate people, right?
No, that was Dahmer.
Dahmer, right.
Yeah, Ted Bundy was just, like, so good-looking that he used that to lure women, and then he killed them.
If only he can use his powers for good. Like Zac Efron did. Becoming a good actor.
Why is Zac Efron in this movie?
I think Netflix tweeted something today. It was, like, something about Bundy in a documentary. Like, oh, there's so many different men out there. Like, don't... I think it was, like, saying don't, like, you know... What we were just saying, like, no Daddy Bundy. Don't do any of that stuff.
All right, Netflix, turn it on. Bundy tapes.
Oh, yeah, but then you see the teaser trailer for that show You, when it's just fucking stalker, fucking maniac guy, and he's supposed to be the main character in one of your new shows, and you're promoting that all over the place. Did you see the trailer for that? It's just
for
him,
you?
It's him speaking.
For you?
Yeah. Who would want to watch that? It's like, oh, here, watch this show where this guy...
Have you seen all the
stalks
tweets?
And fucking...
He's what? From Gossip Girl, I think, that actor.
Yes, yes he is.
But have you seen his tweets? He's, like, replying to people, and he's like, no, my character isn't hot. He's, like, a psychopath. Like, why aren't you guys getting this?
But yeah, I just had a problem with watching where that's the main character's, like, Dexter. He was awesome, because he killed bad guys. Well, fuck with Dexter.
It's like, so, I don't even know how to, like, articulate this. I guess it's, like, when you have characters with... I don't want to say Ted Bundy is a character with dubious morals because he is a real person. But like characters like the
Bundy do it.
But like characters from the main guy from You, which I haven't seen, or Dexter, like the reason we sympathize, I guess, with him as a protagonist is because he kills bad people. So mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we're like, oh, you still kill people, but like you're a good serial killer. But like I haven't even watched Dexter, so have either of you watched Dexter?
Yeah.
Yes. Does the narrative ultimately condemn him for what he does? Well, I feel like if you have characters who are like serial killers like that, how their story is placed and I guess how the narrative outside of what they're doing reacts to that is really important for how I think people interpret it, which I think is maybe the issue with You, like the why people are like, this guy is so hot. Have you seen, like, Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things? She had, like, an Instagram story, and she was like, he's just in love with her. That's just how he expresses his love. Which
Ooh,
is
that's not good.
Yeah, that's really, like, concerning.
Well, Dexter, he has, like, a code, and he just has all the, you know, he's kind of just dead inside, which is very relatable. I'm like, all right, I see you, Dexter. But he has, like, I'm not going to give away in just in case you didn't see it, but he had, like, his father was a cop, and he saw all the signs, and... trained in, like, all right, this is inevitable. I'm going to make sure that he does it to the people who deserve it. So he has a moral code about him, and it's easier to sympathize with him, and he is a likable character. He's, like, funny and charming in his weird way, but it's, I don't know, every time when you're main character, I mean, you have your anti-hero, and then you just have your villain. And if that's, like, your main character, especially someone, like, sadistically evil, it's kind of hard to, I don't know, invest yourself into that movie depending on how they structured a narrative around that character.
Yeah, that like I want to see the Bundy movie for that reason specifically. Like I want to see how they do this. I haven't seen the trailer yet, but
like, I think Vice did a good job of that.
I was just going to bring that up. Yeah. A lot of people made the same point about Vice when you talked about do they condemn the main character. The first trailer for Vice made him seem like he was the most badass human being on the Yeah,
that's what
he's
they
the man.
I should use that for Bundy.
And I watched it, and I came out of it more of a Cheney.
No, I think Adam McKay did a beautiful job with that.
Beautiful.
Well, yeah, just how he...
Breathtaking?
Yeah. I loved how he portrayed Dick Cheney, how he had that one redeemable quality about his, like, he had one line, and that was his daughter. But that's the one line he went across, and that was like a redeemable quality. And then when he took that away from him, that was just very damning, and I loved it. It's like it nailed the nail in.
In the coffin.
Yeah, right. Something like that.
You're going to get this with every movie that's dealing with controversial subject matter, especially a real-life serial killer.
Yeah, like, obviously, when it's a fictional character, like, you can get away with it more, like, talking about, like, the theoretical stuff, narrative choices and characterization. But when it comes to real people, it's like, at the end of the day, Ted Bundy killed people. He is not a good person, so the movie should reflect that. And again, I haven't seen the trailer. I wish I'd watched it before this, but
I'm sure the movie will, like you said, there's not a lot with the dubious morals. There's not a lot of ways that you can make the audience sympathize with Ted Bundy other than casting Zac Efron in the lead role. So maybe you want to get somebody who's less good looking. That's the same thing with Ramsay Bolton. In the show, Ramsay Bolton is played by a good looking actor. In the book, he's described as a monster.
Yeah.
That he's not only in the inside, but physically he's repulsive.
It reminds me of, have you seen that? I forget where I saw this. I think it was on Twitter. It's a post, and it's like historical reenactments, and it's like, this is what the person looked like, and then it's Handsome Squidward, and it's like, this is the actor who plays that character.
Yeah. That's all the time. Even Green Book. Mahershala Ali looked nothing like, what was the guy's name? Don Shirley? Dr. Shirley, yeah. He looked nothing like him. Mahershala Ali is this tall, handsome, good-looking movie star.
Oh, can we talk about, I feel like he always has the freshest fits. He won the SAG Award last night.
He had the fresh fits in Green Book.
Yeah.
That first scene when he's on the throne and he's got all the robes. And listen, we need people.
Want to hear another awful joke?
Do we?
SAG Awards, more like put the money in the bag awards, because Amy Adams got robbed last night.
Did you tweet that?
No.
So yeah, we got some set photos here from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah.
What is that movie about?
Oh, that's about the Charles Manson.
Yeah, here we go.
Well, wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
about
actually
Sharon Stone.
I didn't even know that was being made until like before the podcast. You were like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Sharon Tate.
Sharon Tate. I don't like saying Tate.
Oh, I listened to a podcast about the Manson murder.
I feel like they shied away, because when it first came out, I thought it was going to be like heavily just set on that.
Who'd they get for Manson? Channing Tatum, right?
Yeah. But I heard that's kind of just setting the, I don't know.
Yeah, apparently they're not going to focus on
Manson. It's
not
the
Manson
main focus of it.
They're focusing on two characters that never existed in real life, played by Leonardo DiCaprio. He's an actor, and Brad
Aging
Pitt is
Western,
his bodyguard.
The stunt double.
Stunt double, right. And they're really good friends.
They're neighbors to shout. Am I the only one who did the reading?
Yeah, I think so. Hey, man, I'm trying to get these goddamn revisits.
Oh, it's a Tarantino movie.
I'm freaking losing my mind over these revisits.
Wow. Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio in a Tarantino movie? Never would have guessed.
Wait a minute. That sounds familiar. Samuel Jackson's playing Manson right now. Talk about alternate history. He should get weird with his alternate histories.
He did. They fucking, when I first saw Inglourious Basterds and I lit up Hitler, the most satisfying thing of all time.
That ending. Well, it's good because every Tarantino movie, you know the ending, that a bunch of people get killed.
Yeah.
So
I'm like, oh, like,
it's a perfect story for him to tell.
I didn't think he was going to, like, you know, Hitler, like, he didn't really die like that. So I was shocked. I'm like, hell yeah.
Did he? There's a lot of conspiracies with Hitler.
Yeah. Here he's in Argentina.
Before I watched Inglourious Bastards, you told me that Hitler doesn't die. And then I watched the movie and I was like,
oh, I think I told, yeah, it's because I don't know why I told you that.
Probably just to mess with me.
Yeah. I tend to do that a lot with you.
That's actually funny because, what's his name? Taika Waititi's doing a Hitler movie where Hitler is an imaginary friend of a young kid.
So, oh, I heard about that.
I think that's I don't know. That's funny, I guess.
I trust Taika Waititi.
It's so completely on the satirical side that it could work. Kind of like Death of Stalin.
Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate, that was great casting.
Yeah. I just want to see what Leo's doing when he's dancing and looks like he's singing.
The cinematography,
put
too.
Put that in my fucking veins.
This fucking content.
It's only
right
set
here,
photos
Dom?
Out for
yeah.
this.
Yeah, set okay. photos. Okay. That's a 2019 release, right?
This summer.
Wow, that's risky.
Why?
Yeah, the costumes look great too. They're really nailing the 1960s.
Oh yeah, it's such perfect, a perfect aesthetic. I love yeah. it. And I'm just waiting for a trailer. It's coming out. You know, it was like 6 months.
I have a cousin that's watching Game of Thrones for the first time, and he just texted me. This woman really had a baby that can assassinate kings? Yo, that's not fair. But right, yeah, the aesthetic of the 1960s, it's a perfect story for Tarantino to tell, and I hope it's not his last movie. So I think this is number 10, and he's always been adamant that he's going to do 10, drop the mic.
Well, he signed on for this and Star Trek.
Yeah, but Star Trek looks like it's done.
But at the time, he didn't think so.
And he's... No, at the time, no. And even that, it was, he might direct it if he likes the script, because he wasn't even going to write the script. J.J. Abrams got a bunch of writers and together to formulate that story. So, and we haven't heard anything about it since. I think Simon Pegg said, oh, the Star Trek 4 and Tarantino's can coexist. And then Star Trek 4 was canned. So Margot Robbie in a Tarantino movie? I like that. I like when these actors, Margot Robbie goes out of her way to work with talented directors. Mm-hmm. And so does Leonardo DiCaprio. It's been 3 years, right? 4 years.
The Revenant?
Yeah.
Three. It would be three. Two?
2015.
2016?
2015.
Oh. He's always, if you ever check his IMDb page, he always has like four different movies you never heard of in pre-production that never happened.
Yeah.
Like he was supposed to do like this murder detective thing with Jamie Foxx that never happened. Then he was supposed to do this one when he had like 25 different personalities that never happened.
Well, he has the one now that he's working on.
The one he's supposed to do with Jonah Hill.
And Scorsese.
Well, there's one he was supposed to do with Jonah Hill where it's the, remember the bombing at the Olympics and they framed the security guard?
Right.
They were supposed to do that. That never really much happens. I don't know.
Set photos look good.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys want to go to some fan questions?
Sure. Do I have any other jokes?
This question here from Thomas at TB1992. Ever thought about doing a Last of Us storyline review? Also, have you seen Children of Men? I couldn't help but draw comparisons to the two plot lines. Yes, a lot of people have made that point. Children of Men, Last of Us, and even Logan, you can throw in. A lot of people said Logan was the live-action Last of Us. Hugh Jackman and, I forget the young girl's name, Daphne Keene. So you've watched The Last of Us, right?
Yeah.
I still think it's my favorite narrative in any medium.
Didn't they say Tom Holland was cast as the guy?
That's Uncharted.
Oh.
Same company.
Okay.
Same company, Naughty Dog. What I've been dying to review The Last of Us for a long time.
When does the sequel come out? Soon, right?
I think it's either this year, it's going to be late this year, or early 2020.
Because I've seen all the motion capture like pictures that they're putting out.
Yeah, and Elsie Hughes from Westworld,
yeah.
The actress who plays her, Shannon Woodward, is going to be in the sequel. But the storyline, masterpiece.
Yeah, I remember... Manny like played without me. Like I was just watching him. He had no obligation to wait for me, and I was like so upset that I watched the entire thing on YouTube. Just someone, I think it was all the cutscenes, and I just it was basically like watching a movie.
I did that for Injustice, the newer one.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. I think John Campia is somebody who reviews just the cutscene movies for video games. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to get into the game as a whole. That for me that would end up being like a 30-minute video. All right, this question here. What are your thoughts on the future of film and video game mediums? Do you think AR, VR will play a role, or do you think stories are better told from a single perspective? Huge fan of the pod. Thanks for letting me listen. Well, thanks for the question, Andrew. With Bandersnatch
you're
coming
welcome,
out.
You're welcome, Andrew. I like the way you put that. It's like, oh, you're welcome for allowing us to let you listen to our podcast. Right. Good on us.
Yeah, this is it's an interesting question. People have talked about this for a long time. When are movies going to become virtual reality, where you become that person in the movie, or augmented reality?
Didn't IMAX just stop doing 3D?
There's no way they stopped doing 3D. They make so much money from it. Did they?
I think because I was looking at Captain Marvel, and I couldn't find any IMAX 3D for it. But there was real D 3D, but no IMAX 3D. And I looked it up on the internet, and I saw something that said they were going to stop doing IMAX 3D movies.
I don't know. What do you guys think about this? Did any of you play or watch Bandersnatch?
No.
No, I've been meaning to. I just haven't gotten around to it. As far, I guess, storytelling evolves with every medium, so I feel like there are stories you can tell, like, in a book, but there are stories better suited to video games, like movies. So I'm sure there's a whole range of stories you can tell through augmented reality and VR that, like, if the technology becomes more, I think, readily available, like, that'll start happening. I'm not against that, I guess, in any way. I'm excited to see what would happen.
Yeah, I'm somebody who thinks video games have surpassed film as the superior medium for storytelling. I think there's a great quote by Brad Bird that he loves poetry, he loves writing, he loves music, he loves film the most because it's a combination of all of them. Video games takes that to the next level by making you in charge of the story, that you are interacting with the main characters.
That's why I love the Spider-Man game so much, partially because I normally just watch other people play video games because I'm not good at them.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the first one that I actually played through, and I feel like it was a completely different experience as opposed to me just watching the cutscenes. Especially,
so you prefer playing it? You prefer that experience?
Yeah, like I kind of want to go back and play The Last of Us to see if I think of it differently actually playing it. Because they're, like, I don't know if this would be a spoiler for the video game, but, like, I guess just, like, the Mary Jane or Miles scenes that are, like, I know people don't like those, but they're very tense and just, like, dialogue that happens while you're just swinging around the city, stuff like that. Like, those are also integral to the story. And I feel like losing, I don't know, I lost a whole bunch of times in, like, one level. And, like, that adds, I think, to the story part of the video game. So, like,
yeah, you're kind of living vicariously through them, and you're spending more time just swinging around, or in Red Dead, you're just running around, just doing stupid shit, going to the bar. Like, you just, you know, you're kind of just fucking around. It's not always the main story that you're focusing on. I don't think VR would ever catch on. I mean, it's obviously catching on, but as far as a mass way to consume a film or television show.
Yeah, when we were kids, VR was, you put on a headset and your consciousness gets transported into,
honestly,
a computer.
Honestly, that's how Ready I still think One. Of VR.
Yeah, yeah.
If they invent that,
well, Ready
shit,
Player
then,
One,
yeah,
is, it's cool too because they give you the treadmill. Mm-hmm. So you're walking around. They give you the motion sensors on your arms and your body. So that seems like the more realistic version of VR. But like you said, storytelling evolves. So we're just going to have to sit back and watch. These things happen so naturally. Nobody says, this is where storytelling is going. It's like language. It's constantly changing, constantly evolving. There's not a committee. So it's going to be fun to watch that in the next decade.
I mean, there's the whole thing about how, like, acting itself changed with, like, the advent of TV. Just because, like, in movies, like, scenes had to be boxed a certain way. And then on television, like, as technology developed, like, just the way people talked and how they framed scenes, like, completely changed the way stories were told. So,
yeah.
Well, that's why I think film is still the superior medium, especially, well, let me rephrase that. I think a top-level film is probably better than a top-level TV show or video game, because to properly develop all your characters and have a consistent narrative in a 2.5-hour, 2-hour period of time is amazing. And when it's done right, I don't think there's anything like it.
Yeah, I've always been a book person, personally. So I feel like I'll always be a book person.
It is always personal preference.
Yeah.
I always say, because people always make the joke that when we compare the books to the movies, well, the music's better in the movie. People always make that joke, and that's why I always used to say, I don't know if I necessarily still believe it, that every movie based on a book is automatically better because it's just a movie. Because there's just so much more that you can do with that story.
Yeah, it's an entirely new dimension getting added to the story.
Yeah.
That's like when we were talking before, like, so I think someone asked us, would you rather read the book or watch the movie first if you were going to do both? And I said watch the film first because the book would just add more to something you already like. So if I watch a movie and I really like it, then I pick up the book, you're just getting so much more surrounding it.
This question here comes from The Weeknd at Tito Jackson. No, Aaron, it's not.
I'm just asking.
Is it possible for superhero movie fans to see Black Panther's Best Picture nomination as the Academy's way of making up for dropping the ball for not nominating Logan and the Dark Knight, rather than saying neither of those films got nominated, so Black Panther shouldn't either?
That's not a fair comparison. If you look at last year, the Best Picture nominees were far superior than this year. So it makes sense why Logan wasn't nominated.
So maybe that's why Black Panther got in. But I made the point on a couple podcasts ago that it feels like superhero movies have to be something other than great in order to get recognition from these award shows. That I said, I think Black Panther, it's a coin flip for me. Is it one of the top 10 best movies of the year for me personally? No, but it's on the outside looking in if it gets nominated. But it feels like because Logan didn't have that cultural impact, it kind of just gets forgotten.
Yeah,
Black Dark Knight, I don't know what the hell happened with The Dark Knight, because that movie dominated pop culture in 2008.
If there was 8 to 10 nominee slots, it probably would have.
You know what won in 2008? Slumdog Millionaire.
No, I like
Milk.
Slumdog.
You ever seen Milk?
No, I don't think so. But if it was 10 slots, it probably would have gotten nominated.
Yeah, they added the 10 slots because of The Dark Knight, yeah. And they never used them.
Yeah, true. But now 8, so I don't know.
I was just shocked Black Panther got nominated in the first place. I've just kind of been assuming that superhero movies won't really get any kind of recognition. So, like, I don't know.
It's been a strong year, too. A lot of people are making the argument that it's the third best superhero movie of the year, which I think is correct, but Into the Spider-Verse is probably the best superhero movie of the year.
Oh, definitely.
But, you know, it's going to get its animation slot. It's not going to get both.
Wait, did Infinity War come out last year?
Okay. I kind of so bumped it up. I was just going to talk about Infinity War. And Infinity War...
Infinity War is a different monster.
Yes, and Black Panther works better as a singular movie than Infinity War. So I can see why it would be slated on Best Picture if you're just looking at the superhero movies. That's just my point.
Well, people who are saying, oh, is this going to open the door for more superhero films being nominated? No.
If they're good.
But they've been good.
True.
I think, I don't want to say it was a fluke, but I kind of think it was just a fluke. They were like, might as well. Mm. I mean, since the day Black Panther dropped, people were saying it should be nominated for an Oscar.
Had a lot of staying power, too. That's impressive. A lot of movies come out in February, March, and they kind of die down. Look at A Star Is Born. It fucking died out, and it came out in October, November. And it's already lost all of its momentum.
I never got around to seeing that.
Nothing in any of the awards. It's losing down steam, has no Oscar.
Well, I don't think it deserves to win much.
When it came out, though, Lady Gaga, everyone, Bradley Cooper, director,
but then better
picture.
Movies came out after it.
Yeah, of course.
I have listened to that song Shallow like 500 times. I haven't seen the movie, though.
I'm so pissed they didn't get Swae Lee and Post Malone.
That was a great song.
How did that not get nominated for best song?
I listen to that song all the time, but like in my head when I think of it, I think of how Miles sings it in the beginning of the movie. I can't remember the words for the beginning of the song.
You have to sing it like that.
You want ratings, Oscars? Put fucking Post Malone on stage.
Imagine.
I guess people in
front
of the TV.
Post Malone hosting the Oscars.
This question here from JRTL 40 times 1 at Gboy Jr. 3. Your thoughts about Aquaman getting snubbed at the Oscars?
All I can think of, I saw that movie with Manny, and every flashback scene, he pointed at the kid and he was like, you're trying to tell me this kid turns into Jason Momoa? And like that was just his running commentary throughout the whole movie.
This question here from Michael Ventura. What are your favorite one-hit wonders in music?
The Macarena.
Oh, that's a good one.
Was that a song or was it like a dance? Like how did that... Because the Macarena, it's like, you know, in school or like a... party.
Hey, Macarena.
I have to like Google a list of one-hit wonders.
My favorite, Kung Fu Fighting, is the best one-hit wonder of all time.
Oh, what's that? Hoobastank?
what's the blue song?
That's one of my favorite things. I think it's Workaholics. They're like, Hoobastank? Hooba crank that shit up.
Who let the dogs out?
It's a classic.
I'm literally just like reading off a list. Yeah. Beautiful Girls, Sean Kingston.
I think he made another jam.
Yeah, I think he did have another one.
Or Nicki Minaj?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
With Plies? Yeah, but Kung Fu Fighting is a song that I listen to every day. That's how I start my morning.
Why, you're so depressed all the time, huh?
I mean, didn't we our cousin, at her wedding, they played Kung Fu Fighting, right?
Did they? Chrissy?
Yeah, Chrissy.
I don't remember that. I was really drunk at that wedding. Just kidding. I was 12. This question here comes from enjoying break till college and then depression ends that.
What?
Relatable.
Enjoying break till college and depression ruins it.
Until you graduate from college and realize you want to go back.
That's a Twitter name?
That's the Twitter name here.
Oh, wow.
What are some of your favorite anime series or movies?
Ooh.
What?
You have to end a question or something. You guys, go for it.
Hey, we just saw an anime. We just saw A Silent Voice.
That was good. I liked it.
I think it's a masterpiece.
It was way more intense than I was expecting.
Yeah, it was good.
But yeah, that was really good. Your Name, good one.
Yeah, there are times where I think Your Name might be the best movie of all time.
Series, I just finished watching Hunter x Hunter, which I don't know if you say it out loud, Hunter x Hunter, if it's just Hunter Hunter, but whatever. I just watched that. That was great. I cried at the end.
Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
And even the 2003 series, I think, is also very good.
Should I watch it?
So I watched the 2003 series first because I didn't understand that it was rebooted, and I was like 16. So I watched all of that, and then I thought Brotherhood was like a sequel series. And then I realized it was just like a more faithful adaptation. I think if you watch a 2003 and then go to Brotherhood, the beginning of Brotherhood is more fleshed out, because the beginning of Brotherhood, they assume that everyone has seen the 2003 series,
right,
which is why the beginning is a little bit weak.
Yeah, they kind of just jump in.
And tonally, the 2003 is much darker. So I think it's interesting. It's interesting to watch. Like, I'm having that same issue now with Hunter x Hunter, because there is like a 1999 series that is tonally much darker, and everyone says that, like, they like that better. So I kind of want to see the difference.
Yeah, for series, like you said, Full Metal Alchemist, I mention it all the time. And
oh, My Hero Academia, for like a current ongoing.
Yeah.
Really love that one.
I'm on season 2 right now, and I absolutely love it. It's my favorite show that
season
I'm watching.
4 comes out in October, which is really far away.
Yeah, you told me April, and I got excited.
Because last year, season 3 started around April, May.
Favorite character?
Todoroki.
Todoroki's good. I think my favorite character is Aizawa.
For the teachers, Aizawa is my favorite. And
but
then
I love Ida. Ida's funny, man.
His arm chopping.
Yes.
He's amazing.
So serious. It's amazing. I love when he made the seating arrangements for the bus.
Yeah.
And then they get on the bus. He's like, this completely ruined everything. And All Might's great. So many good characters in that show.
And
Sue.
They all get like really cool moments. Yeah. Almost all of them at this point.
It's a huge cast, and everybody get. I love when they do the still image freeze frame, and they say the power. My favorite was Sue. It's like power, frog. She could do everything a frog does. But Cowboy Bebop.
I haven't finished watching it yet.
One of my all-time favorites. Been trying to get Marissa to watch that. Going on like 2 years now.
Is this how Teddy feels?
Cowboy Bebop is, I'm doing a video on Cowboy Bebop. It's going to be like 3 hours, and that's after Game of Thrones, because I need to review that series because it's a masterpiece. And I would say my other favorite would be Death Note. Death Note is...
I also have to finish watching Death Note.
Did you start it?
I've started, yeah. I had an issue with, well, Death Note's not an older anime, but Cowboy Bebop is.
Talk about complex characters. I mean, your lead character is, that's Dexter Morgan for you. He goes beyond Dexter Morgan with his morals, but...
I really love the dumb sports animes. There's one about volleyball, which I know you'll never watch, but I love it.
What is it called?
Haikyuu, I think. It doesn't have an English translation that I'm aware of, at least. But it's about volleyball, and it's like the most intense. There's a season that's 10 episodes, and it's just one volleyball game.
That's like the Dragon Ball Z fights.
Yeah, like
that's amazing.
I know Dragon Ball Z.
And there are people having like
DBZ.
People have whole conversations like
through
Broly
the
net.
Through the net. You're really selling me on this.
It's like it's.
I
just,
came in wanting to hate it.
It's so much fun to watch.
Oh, sports animes, boy, anime. There's a lot of animes out
there.
Oh,
One Punch Man. Have you seen One Punch Man?
I can't get into it. I watched a couple episodes and it just bothers me. I know it's supposed to be a riff on superheroes, but
I saw one thing. It's like who'd
All Might would beat him.
Win in a fight, One Punch Man or like Superman. Superman would fucking mop him.
But all he has to do is get one punch.
He wouldn't be able to touch him. Does he have super speed, this One Punch guy?
Me and Manny
no,
argue all
fucking
the
Superman
time.
Would just blast him with his heat vision or just come out with his fucking super speed and punch him in the face first and crack his neck.
My favorite...
I don't
versus
know. I assume he has no other superpowers besides like a heavy right hook.
The Superman Goku debate is so legendary, and I always rub it into Manny because Manny thinks Goku can still beat Superman, even though it was pretty fleshed out. I mean, that video was pretty thorough. And Superman won, so he threw him into the fucking sun.
I've only ever watched Dragon Ball Z by accident because Manny watched the whole thing, and I'd like sit down and I'm like, I want to know how this fight ends. And then 30 episodes later, I'm like, I don't know how the fight ends.
That's kind of Dragon Ball Z in a nutshell. It's like, oh, somebody died. We need to get the Dragon Balls.
Krillin, usually.
Krillin? I love Piccolo.
It's like, oh, Krillin died again.
And for movies, you need to see the Miyazaki movies, man.
I really liked Princess Mononoke.
That was good.
And I've seen Howl's Moving Castle. Christian
My
Bale does
favorite.
The English dub.
Yeah, he does.
Which really threw me. I was like, Christian?
Yeah, because like it doesn't sound like it.
Do you like the sub or the captions?
Now I prefer captions.
Yeah, the dub or the captions. Yeah.
Right now I prefer the captions, generally because like with newer anime like My Hero Academia, not all of it's dubbed and I don't want to wait. Same with like, I watched Attack on Titan weekly while it was airing in the beginning. So like there are no subs for that. But like Brotherhood has a great dub. So usually I just Google to see like, is the dub for this anime good? And like, what do people recommend? And then I go with that.
I used to be, I'm a caption guy now. Like Dark, I watched it. I tried to watch it with a dub, but I don't.
Oh, live action, you can never do dub.
Yeah, so I.
Anime works.
Yeah.
It sounds better.
Do you ever like try to learn the language too? Like reading it and seeing what
Japanese is.
I've
almost
watched
impossible.
I'm trying to do it with German.
I've watched enough anime that like there are a couple like just hearing things over and over again, like people saying like good job or like
arigato. That's the only one I know.
Just and, like really basic words.
That means all right, I guess.
But like yeah, like basic vocabulary and stuff just like through repetition. And like matching, like
have you seen Akira?
I haven't seen Akira.
There's a character in Akira called Canada, and
like the
it's
country?
Spelled with a K though. Yeah, but like the country. I swear to God, for the next 2 weeks after watching that movie, I would just randomly burst out Canada, because that's how they said his name every time. They'd be like, I love how they overreact in animes.
I'm finally, like, getting over myself and starting to watch the older anime, because in the beginning I was like, the animation. But now I was being an idiot, and I'll finally watch them. I'll finally finish Cowboy Bebop.
I was like that with movies for a long time. It was like,
Ted can't watch a movie from, like, 2003. It's so grainy.
It's like only, like, Goodfellas or The Godfather are the only acceptable movies before 2000 for me. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll go back.
Well, that's always the one thing people say when I say, I didn't like this 1950s movie. It's like, you don't like old movies? I'm like, no, I like old movies, but you judge it based on the quality. You can't do the whole, you can, to a certain extent, you have to think about it when it was made. But at the end of the day, there are masterpieces that are not dated at all that came out in like the 20s, the 30s. So, but for the dub, sub, you prefer sub because you're getting the emotions that the director wanted out of his voice actors.
Yeah, usually I find the sub is better. Also, they're saying more words.
I feel like the hardest part, though, with the sub is name recognition. Because if I'm focusing on the subs and not really hearing what they're saying, and sometimes you read it differently than how it's pronounced, and when you hear it back, you don't have to make the same connection. In my brain, I can't make the same connection. So it's always hard to be like, wait, is that this character or this character? And like the movie we just saw today, like each character had like three different names. So it took me a while to pick up on that.
And you were just explaining the like formal, informal way that you address people in Japan.
Yeah, just based on what I've seen from anime.
Yeah.
I know it's usually people are referred to by their last name. And then I know it's like a hierarchy because they have like built into Japanese and a lot of languages, except English, are more honorifics. So it's like last name, and then like the closer you are, then you can use your first name, and then like nicknames, which are usually like childhood nicknames or whatever, something like that.
There are different levels to it.
It's usually like in a lot of anime, especially like slice of life, like there's always some plot point where it's like a boy and a girl like each other, and it's like, oh, now they're using their first names.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that like a moment?
Yeah, it's always a moment, and it's so funny because there's no equivalent of that here.
No, yeah.
Which, it's like a completely different thing, but I love it every time.
Right,
yeah.
Well, no, it's like your first name to everyone, and then like to your coach, it's your last name. That's like the only time.
Oliver, get on the line. Monkey. Well, Nash, that's his last name.
Yeah. It's usually, I guess.
We have a couple of friends like that. Oh, Steins Gate. Steins Gate, one of my favorite animes. Could not tell you a single character's name. The only character I know is the mad scientist. That was the lead character, but they went too far with the nicknames in that one. It was ridiculous.
I have to watch Steins Gate now.
It's so good.
I'm trying to remember. When I started watching anime when I was 16, and when I was 16, I went through like a really intense period of watching like 12 million different anime, and now I can't remember. Besides like Fullmetal Alchemist. Oh, Soul Eater. I really like Soul Eater. I don't know if I recommended that one to you or not.
I think you did, yeah. Like a couple months ago, maybe last year.
Because in the beginning, it's so easy. You can just look up a list of like greatest anime or like just a list of things like similar to Fullmetal Alchemist, and like Soul Eater is always like recommended. So I was like, okay.
Did you ever watch Samurai Champloo?
I watched the first two episodes.
Well, I love that guy, Shinichiro Watanabe. He did, did you ever see the anime Blade Runner? Blade Runner 2029, I think they called it.
No.
So good.
And I want to watch the Batman anime movie.
He's making a Blade Runner. Yeah, me too.
I saw that. They're going to make a Blade Runner anime.
It's
the
same guy behind Cowboy Bebop. He's doing a Blade Runner anime.
They're doing a live action Cowboy Bebop, right?
Yeah, that's so stupid.
And I know Neon Genesis Evangelion is coming to streaming.
Right. It's going to be on Netflix, so good thing I ripped it from the internet. They were testing Keanu Reeves for the lead as in Cowboy Bebop as Spike.
I can see that.
Back in like the mid-2000s.
Oh, not now?
Yeah, yeah.
In the mid-2000s. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. That movie's way older than the 2000s, though.
Yeah, I think that's 90s.
I had in high school, a study hall teacher, just for some reason, like, she was like, we're going to watch this movie today. And that was my introduction to Keanu Reeves.
We watched that in U.S. history. Bill and Ted, because they go back in time. Or was it U.S. history or global history?
Socrates.
One of the histories. And we went back and we watched those movies. And throughout the whole year, we'd always... Nash was in the class, too. Me, Nash, and the teacher, we'd do the... like the...
Air guitar.
Air guitars to each other.
You think Adam Driver would be good as the lead in Cowboy Bebop? They say he's kind of like a... He looks like a younger Keanu Reeves. I picture him as Spike and The
someone
Rock
said,
is
there's a tweet. It's like, why does Adam Driver look like someone tried to draw Keanu Reeves from memory?
He looks like a police sketch.
I don't want to say I wouldn't respect him, but I kind of... Like...
Are you saying that he's not cool enough to play Spike?
Kind of.
Spike's a cool dude.
I feel like after Star Wars, like, all the memes of him wearing... Like, that's all I see when I...
So funny, man. The second time
it's we Oscar saw... Oscar-nominated Adam Driver.
The
it's
second time we saw
name.
The Force Awakens and Kylo Ren takes off his helmet and he's got the perfect hair, Marissa couldn't stop laughing in the theater.
Because, like,
you
he turned...
You laughed for, like, a minute straight.
It was, like, before he... It was, like, the whole scene leading up to him taking off the helmet. I don't know. He's, like... The internet made him such a meme. So now when I look at him, I just think of all the memes. So I feel like...
Well, you need to see him in other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like right now, it's like if I was to see him in a live action Cowboy Bebop right now, I'd probably just laugh.
Right.
Now, my theater was a little shaken up when they took the mask off and it was Adam Driver.
Me? Because I didn't know who he was at that point. All right. So that's fan questions. That's stories. Wrapping it up here on the Nerd Soup podcast.
What are we doing?
Wrapping it up.
Okay.
My voice keeps cracking. Yeah, and thank you guys for joining me, Aaron, Marissa. Thank you guys for listening at home. And yeah, that's the podcast. Ted, hope you're listening. I hate you.
Better luck next week.